The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
Unity is not only something for us to have when we want prayers answered. Unity is not something we want to have when we want to build a big church or build a big ministry. Unity is really the heartbeat of God. After all, we believe in the Trinity. They unify together and they walk in unity totally. So you and I, as we step into Christian life and the byproduct of that being our own home life, is that we come together in agreement. That it's not agreement in doctrine. It's agreement in the Spirit of God and the love of God.
Coming up next on Sought Out Global Radio, our special guest George Watkins helps us tackle the topic of unity in the body of Christ, speaking both corporately and personally. What is so important about unity in doctrines as well as relationships? And what can we draw from the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as our guides for unity in our own faith? Is unity always agreeing with one another, or is it more complex and pervasive than that? Find out as we discuss unity in the faith. That's coming up next, right here on Sought Out Global Radio. And we welcome you to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, along with Sought Out Ministry leaders Herb Marks and Krista Pitcairn. And also joining us once again for our third week in a row, it's really good to have George Watkins here. George serves on the Board of Advisors for Sought Out Ministries, and he is a pastor with a great wealth of experience over 6 decades in ministry. It's hard to even fathom that, George. And to be in 29 years in your last service as a senior pastor, and that's only covering less than half of it. It's a remarkable journey and a time of and a testament to running the race well. Just well done. It's really good to have you with us here again and have your experience.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be here again.
Today, George wanted to bring us into the topic of unity, and I think this is a great topic. I'm personally very excited about this topic, as I feel that the Lord is leading us into a season of greater unity in the body of Christ, and He is bringing us into a new season, into, a new juncture of our walk with God and our life with God and the body of Christ and the world and how the church interacts with the marketplace, among some other things. I think it's going to be a remarkable time. And George, you in some of the pre-discussions that we were having, you were talking about how the importance of unity is to the body and what it is that we should carry, what we should be thinking about when it comes to unity. And why do we need to have unity with others? And the power of agreement were some of the things that you mentioned as we discussed this prior to going on the air. And, you know, I kind of brought to Matthew 18:20 that says, "Where two or more are gathered, I am there in their midst." And that is a unity verse. And so why don't you take us a little bit on the journey of what you feel like God put on your heart about this subject about unity, which, quite honestly, in my opinion, is a spirit. And it is a fruit of the Spirit that comes to the body of Christ. And I think we can do plenty to push that Spirit away. But I think this is a season, really, that I think the Lord wants to draw His body together. Yes?
That's right. As you're speaking, Mark, I had the thought, you know how they teach people how to tell real money, fake money, rather, counterfeit?
Yeah.
They let them handle real money. Yeah. Enough to where when the fake comes through, they can tell. So the question is asked, how do we know we're having unity? How do we know we're having disunity? Well, I'll tell you what, disunity shows up pretty quick, pretty plain after you've had and understand the peace of walking together in unity. Take a family, take a marriage, those types of things, two walking together. When you're in unity, there's peace. When you're not. So God says, if we come together in unity, there's going to be these results. You're going to have peace. You're going to have fruitfulness. If you're in disunity, here's the results. You have strife. You have all these things that follow strife, every wicked way. So unity is not only something for us to have when we want prayers answered. Unity is not something we want to have when we want to build a big church or build a big ministry. Unity is really the heartbeat of God. After all, we believe in the Trinity. They unify together and they walk in unity totally. So you and I, as we step into Christian life and the byproduct of that being our own home life, is that we come together in agreement. Let me say this, Mark, that it's not agreement in doctrine. It's agreement in the Spirit of God and the love of God. Because we can have differences of views about doctrinal issues, and that many times separates us and causes us to divide, but it shouldn't, because each of us see a little different part of that elephant, as they say, you know, where they were all checking out the elephant. Mm-hmm. One guy saw a leg, one guy saw an ear. And,
oh, yeah, that's good.
So that's we good. Don't, and Paul describes it so well. Each of you have a gift. Each of you, you know, one's called for this, one's called for that. And so the spirit of unity is coming to the cross. The cross really is the central focal point. And so that's my heartbeat, is that God is bringing us as a not just a Christian church, but as believers in Christ, and into the fact that there is unity. And when unity is there, there's the peace that passeth all understanding.
And if you have the peace that surpasses all understanding, you have to give up the right to understand, don't you?
I've been married 47 years this year.
Enough said.
I've learned how to do that. Yes, dear.
Yeah, that's experience right there that keeps you married. Yes,
right.
Dear.
That's
two
right.
Words.
You know, in Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together, live together in unity." And it goes on to give a description of what it's like. And then at the end it says, "For there the Lord bestows his blessing, mm-hmm. even life evermore."
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's just a God's putting a high value on the importance of unity. We might have disagreements, but on the essentials, we need to be unified. And
what are those, Herb?
The essentials is that Jesus Christ came, died for our sin, raised from the dead, that whosoever believes upon him will have everlasting life, and that Jesus Christ is King and Lord of all, and that there is a triune God. We have God the Father and the Son and the precious Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we see the love of the Father, who would give up his only begotten Son and send him to earth, die for sin, take the sin upon himself, be buried with it, and then be raised from the dead. He's the only one that has ever been raised from the dead. And then since then, of course, in his name, others have. But that's miraculous because of what Jesus has done. So sits at the right hand of the Father, and now the Holy Spirit is causing men and women to face Jesus, to receive him as Lord and Savior because of the love of the Father. So, you know, we might have some of our experiences that are different, but still with the essentials, where Jesus Christ is central, that's where unification has to happen. We know that in the church there are, you know, different denominations, but I got to tell you that at the end of the day, when we're standing before the Father, it's if Jesus was Lord or not. Therefore, is King Jesus, you know, lifted up all throughout the region here in Seattle and the outlying counties? We want to say yes to that. And to the churches that have not allowed Christ to be the central figure, mm-hmm. then I can say that also that's a concern, because God mm-hmm. brings blessing where there's unity.
How about that scripture, as he is, so are we in this world? We tend to use that for power or faith, But how about that area of unity as he is? He's unified with the Father. He's in agreement. I do nothing but what I see the Father do.
Yes.
You know, so taking that scripture and laying it over my life then as he is, all right, I'm walking in the will of the Father, understanding his love for me, just like Jesus would, Jesus does. I'm in obedience. Anyway, just a thought on that unity.
Mm-hmm. Unity in the home. Between a husband and wife, unity between a couple that are fresh and new in their relationship and learning how to unify together. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of adjusting that goes on so that unity in their newfound relationship can function well.
You know, I love the topic of unity. And I think in my personal journey with Jesus, I've really learned the importance of God's heart for unity. And that unity, and I think someone spoke to this earlier, might have been Mark, and I could be wrong, but someone spoke to this earlier, and that is, unity doesn't always mean you agree on everything. But it does mean you're committed in your heart, there's a loyalty, there's a covenant relationship. It doesn't mean we're going to see eye to eye on everything, but my heart is still with you. So it's not circumstantial, it's covenant-based unity. So for me, when I grabbed a hold of, okay, unity in a marriage, unity in a relationship, unity in a friendship, unity in the workplace, unity in the church. Again, it's not that we're always looking at everything from the exact same point of view. We're all in total agreement. That's not reality, and that's not even realistic often. But what is reality and what's more important, what's covenant, is that we're coming at it from the heart of, I'm so for you. You're my brother and sister in Christ. At the end of the day, like Herb hit, the essentials is what we agree on. And we're all going after the same thing. We're all in the same pursuit. And that's what we're focusing on. And all these little bystanders, even at times what I term as ground battle, little distractions or little side things that really at the end of the day aren't important. That's not what determines unity. Unity to me is a posture of the heart.
George, you've really had an emphasis on your heart right now in this season concerning unity. There are some things that are deep-seated in you as well. You've been around the block many times. What's one of the important waypoints that you feel God is talking to you about right now in the church regarding unity?
You know, I would say if I had a one shot at this, you know, like one choice, it would be our understanding of authority.
Oh.
Because the whole structure of the kingdom, which, if you're not familiar with that term, would be the structure of God's business, or, you know,
yeah,
everywhere.
Well put.
Is that there has to be an understanding of authority. And in Matthew, where the centurion came and said, will you come and heal my servant? And Jesus said, I'll come. But and the centurion said, no, don't, just send the word. And Jesus, because I am a man under authority, and I say to one, go, and he goes. And Jesus said, I've never seen that kind of faith in Israel. I mean, the Jews should have known this, but no one's talked to me about that. So the structure of authority, and I watch the people walk in the streets. They have no structure of authority, and they're distraught, and they're broken, and they're rebellious. But when you understand there's a God, there's a Father, there's someone who loves me, I have a place in the family, I have a direction, I have a purpose, I have an inheritance, I'm part of the structure of this family, and I know where I fit. Man, I tell you, peace comes to the heart. You're not trying to outdo your brother. You're not trying to shout louder than he is or run faster, because I know where I fit in this thing, because someone's in charge and it's not me.
Mm.
And that's the basis of, I believe, real unity in the house.
Well, you know, and you see it often where people are positioning themselves, even in the church, you know, for recognition or for a position or what have you. And That causes disunity in the church, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. To know that you are where you fit. And I heard the other day, and matter of fact, I think I did a little teaching on it, that it's not what you do, it's who you are. And if you can get that in your spirit, you'll settle down and have peace in this thing. It's not what you do. So I don't have to pray loud, preach loud, pray, you know, I don't have to be the spark. When I know my place in the kingdom and in my own family and in my own world, that's who I am. God made me something. I am a son. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I have an inheritance. I don't have to prove that every day.
God didn't make a mistake when he built you, made you, wired you.
That's right.
And yet you have a place to fit.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that to me is such a big key, George. It's the idea of identity and knowing who we are in God. And it's not just necessarily the labels of things like apostles and prophets and pastors. Those do help. As Graham Cook once said, those are job descriptions, not titles. And I think that's aptly put. But there is a key about that particular verse in Ephesians, and I opened it up a while ago, and I throw it out to you all. As he says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The word until always struck me as a very big key in that verse, because it seems to be saying, as you were talking about the house, if unity is truly to occur, Scripture seems to be saying in this passage that we must raise up the gifts in the body so that the people can be lifted and equipped, and that unity is a byproduct of that process. And maybe we do not have perfect unity because we haven't done the first step, which is to raise up the offices and to put them in the position that they belong in the body of Christ today.
The job descriptions, as you've mentioned, Mark.
Amen.
Well, that's good. That's good.
That tells me it's possible. That tells me it's possible.
It is possible.
That's encouraging. When that scripture says until. So that means it's possible.
But we also have counterfeits. You started with the whole idea of a counterfeit bill. Mm-hmm. I love that because I've often turned to that if you go to, the federal government hires its investigators on their ability to be able to tell the original from a fraud, by getting so familiar with the authentic that, as you said, is it can be in your hands, you can tell when you see a fraud. And there is, you know, there are false Christs and theologies that have risen up that claim to be unity, but are in reality, I think, more conformity. And just as you were talking earlier, I looked up the words. Unity is to be joined to something. It is an action I take on my own to join to something because it is well within me, versus conformity is compliance to a law, a set of laws.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Powerful.
That is really, really good. You know, the verse that you read about the five job descriptions, finish the tail end of that verse again, Mark.
It says that to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature in attaining to the whole measure and the fullness of Christ.
That verse, George, you said was encouraging to you as well, in the fact of the word until means there's progressive movement.
It's good.
There's movement here, and that God is always at work developing in us a magnet to be drawn together in alignment, that everything is at true north, as it were. And when we pull away from that, then that's a fragmentation causing disunity. But in the fact that there's forward motion and there's progression here with that word until, I think that it really seems clear to me in the last number of years where there's been an increased emphasis of these job descriptions or fivefold, out of Ephesians 4:11, I think it is, and that we do have those that have the government upon them, and that'd be apostolic. We do have those that God gives the ability to see out in the distance to bring back to those who are the establishers that have the government on them. which I think you carry a lot of George in the apostolic. Now, on the prophetic side, I'd be stronger there. And then, you know, with the teachers who establish and with those that have the heart for the world to come to know Jesus Christ, and that would be the evangelist, you know. And, yeah. You know, then those that shepherd, and we've got so many who have a touch of pastoralship or shepherd that are just sitting in the pews wondering what they're about when they ought to be leading a small group in their home or you know, they need to be released because we have so many of those that are nurturers in the body of Christ.
And, amen.
You know, and so when all of this is functioning, I think that's why right now the wind is really blowing regarding unity in the church with the job description getting placed so that they can begin to function. So all of them are encouraging each other. All of them are building each other up. All of them are functioning. And there's nothing like unity when especially you've been put in that place where you're functioning in your own power alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yes.
You know what's really exciting about what's happening in the church globally right now is I'm seeing so many denominational walls come down and so many bodies of worship, so to speak, are coming together in areas of prayer, in areas of events and outreach, evangelism, whatnot. And people, I feel like, are shifting out of the mindset of it's not just about me and my ministry, what's in my hand, but there's the ecclesia, the big picture, the local church of God, the church of the kingdom of God.
That's good.
And that it's greater than denominational walls. And to me, there is such an excitement that there is across denominational walls, the denomination walls that were so significant for decades feel much less prevalent and important today, which I think is a wonderful move forward toward unity and unity of the body of Christ as a whole. And to me, how much greater and more effective can we be if we all come together? And we're seeing that. We're seeing incredible impact happen in communities. I know in LA alone, where I'm currently pastoring, we're often partnering with other ministries and other organizations. And I just love that I really have experienced tapping into the pleasure of God when people just come together simply for the sake of kingdom. And it's not about my church or someone else's church is benefiting. It's about building kingdom.
So for you, this is the idea of this unity transcends denominations, right? Which
absolutely. I think it's so much bigger than the what we affiliate ourselves with. It's so much greater. We're kingdom. We're all sons and daughters. We're all citizens of heaven, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We're sons and daughters of the same God.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we might have preferences, but preferences have very little to do with actually our identity. And our identity is kingdom.
Yeah,
it is. Who's king is the center of our lives. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And I think about what Sought Out Global is doing. You know, every time we hold a function, there are many churches that are represented in our times together. We did, in 2014, we did home encounters in different counties. We did 20 of those and four larger gatherings. Many as, I think, like 8 or 10 different churches represented in one home encounter. And the homes are full. And the assignment is bringing people into more exposure of their inheritance by the kingdom of God touching earth.
George, when you wrap us up in a quick prayer and just speak a word of unity over the body of Christ for all who are listening here, for finding our place where we fit in this grand kingdom that you called God's business. I love that. Just why don't you just take a minute to close us in prayer real quickly. And thank you so much for joining us these last 3 weeks. It's really been a blessing to have you alongside of us.
Always my pleasure to be with you and to be able to share the spirit of Sought Out Global. Father, your purpose is so clear because it's stated in many different places, but we just agree with that today. And when we can pray the heart of the Father, we know we're speaking by faith or in faith that you are in agreement. And I speak unity to the very smallest unit of any family member and a family structure,
yes.
to the structure of a church, to the structure of a community, to the structure of our nation. I speak the spirit yes. of unity mm. where there has been disunity. Where there's been strife, let peace flow. Where there's been misunderstandings, Lord, let understanding come. Where relationships have been broken because of strife or brokenness, Lord, let healing flow yes. back into these yes. sections yes. and areas yes. of life. I release this by the faith of God, by the name of Jesus, and by the unity of these that are sitting here at this radio broadcast today. We put our faith together and we believe God's miracle power in our generation.
Yes,
in God. Jesus'
yes,
name.
We do.
Thank you, George. Friends, our dear brother George Watkins brought some amazing thoughts about unity today. We hope you'll bring this topic in your prayers to God and ask him how you can cooperate with heaven and partner in unity today. Very quickly, we want to once again ask you for your support to Sought Out Global Radio. If led by God, would you consider supporting Sought Out Global Radio today? Our address is P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. Or you can go to our website, soughtoutglobal.com, and just follow the links to partnership and giving. That's all the time we have for today. For Herb Marks, Krista Pitcairn, and George Watkins, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again next week right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.